Okay, so number four is we making a presentation. Now, making a presentation, what do we always taught to make a presentation? We go in and find the needs of the customer, and then we fill those needs. Is that not what we always taught? And that's true. I mean, we have to find their needs and so on. But here's a clue. Right now, nobody needs anything. They've got everything they need. So we're looking for something that really doesn't exist if we're looking for a need. So how do we make a good presentation? What is a good presentation based on? Good presentation is based on knowing what our customer is thinking about. Now, what do our customers think about? They think about the same thing that you think about. They think about 24 hours. What is the one thing that we all think about?
Making money.
That's an excellent, because that's a good part of it, making money. We think about our future. That's what we think about all the time, is our future. Now, that's why we're here today, for our future. That's why I'm here today, is to enhance your future. If I came up to you and I said, you have absolutely no future with this company whatsoever, and I don't mean to... Yeah, I mean, what would you do? You say, well, I might stay at a break, but after that, I'm history. I'm out of here, right? See, we work and we live for our future. Now, like Robbie said, in our future, we had to picture the things that we want to accomplish. We want to picture the good things. We want to picture us having those accounts. We want to picture our plan where we are adding points to our accounts every week. Those are the things we want to picture. But we have to know what our customers are picturing, too. Now, what are they picturing? Well, what happens when we worry? We worry, we are picturing things in our mind that may or may not happen. So our customers are picturing things in their mind right now. They're worried. Now, what are they worried about, and what kind of solution can you bring to them? Well, first of all, there's no such thing as a lack of business, only a lack of ideas. No such thing as a lack of business, only a lack of ideas. Now, when you think about that, how many line items do you have? 10,000, I mean, I know you got 10,000 size of your warehouse, I could tell, but you probably got more than that. Why is every one of those items in there? Because somebody, somewhere down the line said, I have an idea. I have an idea how this might be a better product for our customer. I have an idea how this pack size might work a little better. I have an idea how this pre-cooked product might work better than a raw product. I've got all these ideas. So you've got ideas. You've got a warehouse full of ideas. All you have to do is take one idea a week, present it to your 40 accounts. Another idea, present it to your 40 accounts. And if you do that, and then you talk about the four things that are always on their mind, from the time they get up in the morning until the time they go to bed at night. How can I increase my check size? How can I increase my customer count? How can I lower my food cost? How can I lower my labor cost? Those are the four things they think about. Those are the things they wake up in the morning. How can I add more onto every check? How can I increase my customer count? How can I get more customers in the door? And if you go in and say, listen, I got an idea, might increase your check size. I think this, as a matter of fact, we put this dessert line in another restaurant, and it increased their check size 25 cents on average. Now, 25 cents on every check size, and every check that you get goes out of here equals so much per week, per month, per year. And we have a broker that they're really sharp. They can come in here and show your wait staff how to sell this dessert. So it's a win-win. And, I know labor is a hard thing right now, and, your labor cost is shooting through the roof, and I know you're still cutting your own steaks. We have the Certified Angus Beef Program. And I mean, this is second to none, and this is going to save you. It's going to add to your sales, and it's going to lower your labor cost. So you're always talking about those four things: check size, customer count, labor cost, food cost. How can you? Those are the four areas that you can help them with. The secret of success in the food business. What is it really? It's really simple. And, I've seen restaurants go out of business because of it, and I've seen other restaurants that shouldn't even be in business stay in business because of it. And you've got to have good food. So as soon as they say, oh, boy, I think I'll cut back a little bit on this, or I'll sell them this lower quality ham that has all this water and carrageenan in it, you're actually hurting their business. Give an example. I was in Iowa, and we were going to this food show, and I said after the food show, I thought there's a steakhouse right nearby. Instead of eating at the show, we won't eat at the show, and then we'll go reward ourselves with a steak. So when I think of a steak, first of all, I like the ribeye. A little closer to the chuck, has a little more flavor. It has to be at least a USDA choice, and a certified Angus beef is as good as it gets. You take a a certified Angus beef ribeye steak, you age it for 21 days, and because it's a choice, it has that spider web of marbling that goes down through it. You cut it off about an inch and a quarter thick. You get your grill just as hot as you possibly can. That mesquite charcoal is the best because that has a higher heat. You put it on that grill and it starts to sizzle, and you put a little salt and pepper on the top, and as soon as those little red teardrops start coming out of the top, you flip it over. You only flip it one time, and then it's got those grill marks on there. That fat around the edge is kind of burnt just right. You may put a little bit of butter on the top of that just to get a little more flavor, a little more salt and pepper. You put it on the plate, and it's still sizzling, and you cut down through it, and it's nice and crusty on the top and crusty on the bottom and pink in the middle. And at that point, it's a spiritual experience. That is as good as eating gets. And so when I picture a steak, that's what I think of. So I go into this place in Iowa, and what happens, I order it, and it comes out, and it's what you call a Flintstone wedge cut. Flintstone wedge cut is like they didn't have a sharp knife, so they whacked it off with an axe. It looked like they were getting to the end, so they were trying to get an extra steak off, so it looked like a doorstop. I ordered medium, raw on one end, burnt on the other, no fat on it, because I knew it wasn't a choice like they said, and start cutting that. And I know it's tough right away. Now, what do you feel like doing at that point? You feel like taking it back into the kitchen and saying, hey, this is not what you represented on the menu. But what happens? For us guys, what happens? Your wife, what does she say? Don't make a scene. Don't make a scene. Say, okay, so the waiter comes by. How is everything? Great. So you eat half of it, you're too far away, you can't take it home for the dog, so you go up to pay. And they say, how was everything? Oh, fantastic. You fill out the comment card, you don't even bother. You do something far worse than that, you never go back again. And then they're wondering, golly, my food costs is high. Well, your food costs high because your sales are going down. If your sales go down, everything else goes up accordingly. So that the worst thing that they can do, if they start buying from a competitor, one of your accounts, they say, well, they had this lower price. They say, listen, I'm going to tell you like it is. I'm going to tell you the truth. That if you put that product in, you start using a lower quality product, your customers will not say anything probably, but they just won't come back. Coffee. I mean, people know what good coffee tastes like today. If they're drinking that dishwater coffee, I mean, people aren't going to come back. So that's the secret of success, is keep your customers upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. There has never been a restaurant, and you can mark my words on this, there has never been a restaurant go out of business because they paid too much for their food. There's never been a restaurant go out of business because they paid too much. Now, their food cost is high, but that's because they got theft, they got portion control problems, they got cash problems, they got other problems that are making their food costs go up. It's not because they paid too much for their food. So keep that in the back of your mind when you're trying to persuade them to make those improvements that we need.